Welcome to Back Fence Unhinged, a conversational teeter-totter to leisurely enjoy.
Yes,
to leisurely enjoy with the middle of your day, afternoon, or night. You're about to hear an unhinged, dirty little story from my co-host, Frayne Masters.
Hello.
Then comes the second unhinged part. I'll ask Frayne some questions about her story and maybe, just maybe, share a story of my own.
Yeah.
How are you, Frayne?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself, Andrew?
I am doing great.
Marvelous.
I love. Marvelous. I love. This is the second time that we've taken a break from inviting guests on to take turns telling our own stories.
Yeah, our own little unhinged business.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I've got a question for you. Have you ever stolen anything, Andrew? Like, I think about you. You're the the very attentive, parented one. You were school president. Right?
Yeah. Does this count?
Let's find out.
When I moved to Portland many years ago and didn't have a lot of money, the big grocery store game in town is Fred Meyer.
Yeah.
And there are they don't seem to have quite as many anymore, maybe for this reason, but they just used to have this glorious bulk bin area.
Oh, yeah, they still do.
And it sort of was like...
It's a sweeping bulk bin.
Yes, and I was sort of instructed by fellow friends, like, it's not stealing, just take what you want. So that was always sort of part of the you know, we sort of treated it like free samples, and, you know, get a good half a meal out of the various nuts and chocolates and thing. I mean, I think that's technically stealing.
It's textbook stealing, I believe. What are your favorite snacks in the bin?
Nuts aren't cheap.
Nuts are expensive.
Yeah.
And now they're really expensive because, you know, they probably have a lot of tariffs on them. Yeah. I don't know. Nuts come with a huge tariff.
Yeah. I mean, I've written like one act plays about, like, I'll hear a good stealing scam and then I'll be like, steal it, but I don't actually do it. I just write about it.
This is unraveling for you quickly about how much you're stealing. No.
Just yesterday we flew back into town and one of our suitcases got left in Minneapolis, like inexplicably. We got there early, just like two were on the conveyor belt, one wasn't. And I just got to thinking, like, what is preventing anyone from just like coming to the airport, grabbing two expensive looking suitcases and hightailing it out of there?
I'm sure it happens.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
How about you? Have you ever stolen anything?
I have stolen things. I did go to Catholic school. With nuns, and so
not for that period.
I didn't, but I've stolen like minor. Well, I think I'm trying to get away with this the same way you were. Like, is it technically stealing?
Like, it was only $3,
right? I just have, and then I just feel so bad afterwards. I've stolen things like a Big Gulp, and because I'm all through high school, I loved a Big Gulp. I loved a Diet Coke, a Big Gulp, and I like the super Big Gulps, But I just would feel so much guilt afterwards. It was not worth it to me how much I would ruminate on what I've done. And even though, like, I never embraced Catholicism, I still felt so guilty about it. I think I just can't do it, you know? So that's my story there.
You're still a good person to me.
Thank you. And you're still a good person to me as well.
Thank you.
I just want to absolve you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely.
So does your story have to do with stealing?
Oh, I don't know. Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Shall we?
Yes.
Andrew, I have a confession to make, which is that I love the scent of burnt lint.
Oh.
A cloud of Clorox mixed with some like faux lavender laundry detergent mixed with a dryer sheet. The whole oeuvre of laundromat.
You're a laundromat person.
I'm a laundromat person. I don't go anymore to a laundromat, but there was a time where I did, for a long time,
yeah.
I went to laundromats, and I just there's a lot about it that I really, really liked.
Because the smells.
The smells, sure, like I just described, but also just like, as a person who suffers from a mild OCD, I would create a ritual around it. And, you know, part of the ritual was some people watching there. I like to watch the people who come into the laundromat. It's always a varied cast of folks. And the particular laundromat that I went to at this time is just a few blocks down from my apartment. And it's in a very neighborhoody area. And part of my ritual is I would put, you know, I get two washers because I would separate my lights and my darks.
Of course.
And put them in there. And so I knew that the cycle was going to be about like 25, 27 minutes long. So on this particular day, it was very sunny out, very lovely. So I walked outside. And commonly, there would be this giant sheepdog outside the laundromat,
okay.
laying there, just basking in the sun. And on top of the giant sheepdog would be nestled a smaller dachshund.
Oh my God, that sounds adorable.
It's adorable. It's just like the kind of neighborhood where you're like, it's fine to leave my laundry in the wash while
yeah.
I walk away, you know? Because like, I want to have a certain trust of the public, you know?
Yeah.
Like kind of the way that, you know, like you just mentioned the airport with the luggage, I want to have that kind of trust of the public.
Yes.
And so I leave the sheepdog and I go down a little bit to the coffee shop where I'd always get coffee, where Mike the barista works. And Mike the barista is very hot.
Yes, he is.
He's a snowboarder.
Nice.
So I'd have a little bit of a conversation with Mike and, you know, and I would talk to some friends. I would commonly run into friends there, maybe do a little reading. And I know I said I like to do people watching at the laundromat, but I would run into some characters that made me feel sometimes a little uncomfortable there. Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Watch to avoid.
Yes. And like a couple times, like, I'd just be standing in the laundromat and I would feel that person slowly walking towards me. And it's the feeling of like when somebody's like looking right at you and, you know, they have a question or they're, you know, are they going to ask you for an address? Are they going to try to sell you something? But it's very off-putting. And then especially if they kind of back you up in a corner against a wall or something like that. And there was more than one time where people said, you look like you're a little lost in life.
Oh, God. Just like, oh, you older person hanging at the laundromat, steer me correctly.
No, this is not an old person. This is a younger person that would say this to me. And part of me was like, you're right. And that was weird because I was like, has this person just been observing me? And how do they know this, that I feel this about myself? How do they know this interior monologue with me? And then the next thing would be like, you know, I'm having a community gathering.
Oh,
and they would hand me a flyer with bad font.
Always.
On a terrible color of pastel paper that was on sale. And I would just be like, I don't want to go to this. Or they would say, what's your relationship like with Christ?
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I immediately I would be like, I'm not sold on this anymore. I don't think you really saw me. That was just a marketing line that you use on everybody who comes into the laundromat. And I'm an atheist at that time. So I'm like, I'll see you later. Anyway, I'm back at the coffee shop. And that's why I want to hang out there and flirt with Mike a little more. My time is up. So I got to go continue my ritual at the laundromat, back at the beautiful sunny laundromat. And so I take my clothes out of the wash, and I'm a hang dryer. I'm a hang dry person. Are you a hang dry person?
A dryer person.
You're a dryer. So always I've been a hang dry person because it leaves your clothes more color saturated.
Yeah.
They don't stretch out.
Yeah.
They last longer.
You're making a good argument.
Yeah. And it just feel better on my skin.
Yeah.
I like the, you know, even though I said I like the scent of a laundromat, I don't like the toxicity of it every day on my body. Like the dryer sheets and stuff, maybe not so much.
In doses.
Yeah, in doses. I like it in doses. It's like a little drug, a little intoxicating drug. And I get, you know, the only thing that I really put in a dryer from those two loads, and I only need one dryer from the two loads, because literally, like, all of my skivvies and lingerie, most everything gets put into a basket to be hang dried. So, you know, I put my clothes in, and I've got about 45 minutes now, you know, while the dryer is going. So I leave the laundromat, walk like three blocks again to my apartment, because now I'm going to put on some Mazzy Star or some Built to Spill, and I'm going to hang some laundry.
Some good hang music.
Some good hang drying music, yeah. Right. And I hang up all, you know, everything, have a little snack, a little Tillamook cheddar cheese, a little cracker, a little bit of salami, something like that, a little charcuterie.
Yeah.
But not on a charcuterie board, just like something on a paper towel. And at that time, I probably also got high. Anyway, a little high.
Picture painted. Thank
probably,
you.
Probably hot knifing on a stove into a paper towel tube is what I'm guessing. Because that's like a good laundromat activity is to get high.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I'm coming up on 45 minutes. So I walk the three blocks back past our friend the sheepdog and the dachshund, still soundly sleeping.
Still doing their thing.
And also the man who was always with them, who was always drinking coffee, it seemed like, at all hours of the day, every day.
That was his job.
That was his job. That's what he did. That's what brought him joy. And I'm not here to squash anyone's joy.
No.
So I walk into the laundromat, and there's like a bank, you know, about 20 dryers in there. And I'm you know, I don't remember exactly which one is mine. And I see my sweatshirt, you know, tumbling, one of my sweatshirts tumbling in there with my t-shirts. And again, there's, you know, it's not a lot of stuff. So it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I walk towards my dryer, and this terrible feeling comes over me. And I feel very confused, and I keep squinting at my dryer. And it's not just my clothes in the dryer.
Oh, no.
And I think I'm making, you know, I'm like in real disbelief, and I can feel the whole disbelief throughout my body. Like, have I gone crazy? Like, what's happening right now? And then as I move closer to the dryer, there are underwear in the dryer, which you know is verboten.
That's
for
that's,
me.
That's hang dry territory.
That's hang dry that's, territory.
Those are not your undies.
And I get a little closer, and they're women's underwear in the dryer. And I get a little closer, and they are Calvin Klein women's underwear in the dryer, because I can see the Calvin Klein waistband tumbling around with my stuff.
Iconic.
Iconic. And I do have some of those, but they are drying three blocks away. They are not here. Because I'm like, maybe I left some in there by accident. What have I done? And I know it seems hard to believe. I was so terrified, because I was like, what is happening? Because it was just such a weird, you know, break in, you know, my world about what was going on. And so I start to look around the laundromat at the people, and over to my left is this very tall man. He's like 6'4", and he is staring at me, smiling like a dog that just did something wrong.
Oh God.
And he's just like staring me down, and he's very casual in his body. And I look at the dryer, and I look at him, and it's clear that he has done something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so he makes his way towards me, and now I'm frozen. Now I'm like, it's that nightmarish thing where I feel like I don't have a voice and my body can't move, and I am petrified because what is going on here? I just don't know. I can't piece it together. And he comes over to me, and he said, you know, I think this is the best I can recall what he says to me, which is he says, is that your dryer? And I guess I nod or something. I don't know what I do. And then he said, those are my wife's underwear in your dryer. And I'm like, you don't have a wife.
Right.
We all know that there are quotes around the word wife. You don't have one. I don't know what's happening, but that's not what's happening. He was like, there was just so much space in your dryer.
What?
Yes. And I was still frozen and can't really say anything. And he's saying all of this in that way that's so seething and gross, where he's so casual about it. And he can see that I'm like shaking in this moment, and I am so uncomfortable. And I think that's what he wants in this moment too, as I reflect back on it. It's like just this power trip over me, because that's so invasive to open up my dryer and put somebody's underwear
in
there.
Yeah, that's a violation.
And then he says, you know, do you want me to take them out? And I think that I audibly said this. I think I said, no, I don't want you to do that. I just, no. But I don't know if I actually said anything out loud, but I felt like that
feeling
was what was, but he just moved closely by me, and walked up to the dryer and started to open it. And then it just turned into flight for me. It went from fright to flight. And I was like, those are not my favorite clothes. My favorite clothes are, I'm leaving. And I just left there. I was like, I don't want these clothes. And he said something as I was leaving, but whatever. And I blew by the sheepdog and the dachshund and went back home and just felt so weird.
Oh,
and I still feel it in my body. You know, it was like such a, because like, what is he doing? And it's like purposeful to get a reaction out of me, which it just feels gross and icky. And, but I was also like, I want to have that trust in public again. I don't want somebody who does things like this to blow my trust of people. And so, you know, I went back to the laundromat.
Good
and I started using, I never thankfully ever saw him again. But to be honest, I did watch my laundry a little closer after that.
Poor Mike was lonely.
Yeah.
The coffee shop. Yeah.
Oh, no. I still saw Mike all the time.
Okay, good.
Outside of laundry hours.
Oh, man. Well, that's a good that you went back.
Yeah. I felt like it was important.
To not let him, destroy that.
Yeah.
That
you know,
place
I wasn't.
Full
I
w- of wonderful scent for you.
Yeah. And, I didn't want the people with the weird community flyers or people asking me inappropriate questions. I think that people come up to me a lot because I don't have a resting bitch face, but I do have a resting, face. Like, I do look confused, I think, a lot because people are, frequently will ask me, are you lost? They do ask me that.
No, I live here. It's my house right there.
I'm just thinking about groceries right now in a Fred Meyer, you know? Right. It's it is a common question.
Wow.
I do think I have a quizzical look on my face quite often.
Resting face.
Yeah. Resting face. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Have you ever had a moment where somebody's approached you at a time when you kind of out of the blue?
I was definitely, my parents were definitely be really wary of anyone who approaches you, you know, with that sort of it could be religious, it could be a cult. And I remember hearing that record stores were a big place.
Record stores?
Because it's, you know, where lonely teens would go to buy records. And so I was always very vigilant about that. But I do actually have a lot of fond memories of laundromats. And especially in college, you know, because that was, it's such a... You know, kind of a rite of passage to, you know,
absolutely.
When you're out of the house, whether it's college or your first apartment or whatever, where you're, you know, you're having to do your own laundry. And then also for me, college was so much about social, you know, experience. And so, you know, it was just, it was such a cool way to run into, meet new people, run into someone that you might not normally or accidentally on purpose run into someone that you were hoping to spend a little more time with. And then you're just there.
We're folded clothes together. It's very romantic. There's laundromats show up a lot in movies, I think, for that reason. It's a good meet cute sort of place.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And then later on, you know, here's a better laundromat experience. Later on, I moved to Los Angeles and my roommate, Krista, and I would go do laundry together. And the laundry, they got smarter later, at least this laundromat, because it was in Los Angeles, which is when you left it actually locked when you left it.
Now we're talking.
And so in Los Feliz, we would go to the laundromat, which was really, it was right next door to Trader Joe's.
Mm.
And we're just hyping grocery stores today. Let's hype them up.
Yeah.
And so we put our wash ritual in, and then we go to Trader Joe's and do some shopping, and we go there and we'd always buy a case of $3 Chuck.
Oh yeah.
And we'd always, you know, drive in her car to the laundromat, and we had a wine opener in the car.
Yeah.
And so, and we had wine glasses in the car. So then when we were on the dryer stage, we could watch the laundromat, and we would just drink red wine and watch our clothes dry.
I love,
and just talk. And
I
it
love,
was so funny.
I love
they were
that
such good moments.
I love that evolution for you from hot boxing to the Charles Shaw.
Wow. Yeah. This is just a trip through my,
No, but it's the time to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And then we'd have all those delicious Trader Joe's snacks that we'd eat and just kind of talk about life.
I just, you know, being young where somehow maybe you worked sometimes, but the laundry could just be it's Tuesday. We're going to do laundry today.
Yeah. Got to go get some quarters.
Yeah. See, it's a whole adventure.
Yeah, it absolutely is a whole adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, laundry in the house.
Laundry in the house.
Yeah, it really, I actually, as you were telling that story. I remember that I put some wash in this morning and forgot about it. So that, I mean, that's the problem at home,
right?
Is and I you know it's it happens regularly enough that I know 8 to 10 hours. Like one, you know, you're safe. Like leaving your
so it doesn't get mildewy and moldy. Right,
but after yeah. And I'm like, so I'm literally like, I was with you. I was listening, but I also was doing a little math, being like, am I going to have to rerun it with some vinegar, or are we safe?
Well, you know, especially during the pandemic, you know, when I got more I was more anxious at the beginning of the pandemic. And so this is a terrible thing to admit because it's such a water waste. But my record was having to rewash a load of clothes 4 times because I just would put it in and then get all anxious about the world. And then I would be like, oh, shit, and have to go back in there and redo it. And I still feel bad about it. But I guess my saving grace here is that I do line dry.
Yes.
So I'm not using as much energy on that end of things. But yeah.
You still line dry.
Oh, yeah.
What inside, outside? Depends on the weather?
No, inside. Yeah. I don't have an outside situation. Okay. But maybe I need to create a new... I think because I don't have the laundromat anymore, I didn't have a ritual anymore because you can just kind of do it anytime.
Yeah.
Where the, you know, the forced experience of a laundromat, you've got to do it all in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Was perhaps better for my brain.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. Because it just becomes expansive and then you can let it sit in the dryer as long as you want.
That's right.
I'll fold it 2 days from now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It becomes a constant.
Yeah. You were asking about stealing. Or I was asking about stealing. We were talking about stealing.
Talking about it, yeah.
I could never do it, like I said, when I was like in elementary school or even in junior high. But this girl who was really popular befriended me in junior high because I went from Catholic school to public junior high, which was a big step. And this one kind of popular girl befriended me, which was a very big deal.
Yes.
And the Nordstrom anniversary sale, which is a big sale,
big one
in the Pacific Northwest especially, was happening. And we were on the bus, taking the bus to go to the Nordstrom anniversary sale to pick up some clothes for the new school year. And Christy turned to me and she said, hey, I'm going to do a little 5-finger discount today.
Did you know what that was?
I did not.
No, you had to be.
But what did I do? I said, oh, awesome. Like I knew. Like right. I knew what it was because I couldn't tell her.
Now you're
roped
in.
I'm roped in. I don't even know what it is. But I'm like, I'm going along with it because, you know, it's Christy and she's popular and we're going to do this thing. And
discount. Sounds good.
Yeah. It's a discount. I love a discount. My mom had a, you know, a huge folder of coupons, you know, like an accordion of coupons.
She was
every
a clipper.
Time. She was a clipper. Total clipper, and I had a clip with her, and I didn't like it. But this sounded fun, and we got to Nordstrom, and we were shopping around for a while, you know. And I there was a pair of shoes I was looking at because I'd eyed them in the catalog, and all of a sudden, this woman, plainclothes woman, comes up to me, and she says, "You're going to need to come with me." And I look over, and somebody's already nabbed Christy, and these two undercover people at Nordstrom have usher us into the bowels of Nordstrom. They separate us and they, you know, they pat me down.
And you don't have anything.
I don't have anything because I didn't even know what that was. Like, so I'm like, I don't know.
Is this a weird job interview?
Yeah, is it a job interview or is that what she calls the anniversary sale? Yeah. I don't know what it is. But I was very, very, very scared.
Oh.
And it did occur to me in that moment what a 5-finger discount was, of course. And so they let me go, but they also let me know that I should stand outside because a police officer was coming to get Christy.
Wow.
And so keep in mind that, like, it is so busy at Nordstrom because it's the anniversary sale.
Yeah.
And this big, giant cop comes and gets Christy, little Christy, 12-year-old Christy, cuffs her behind her back, and does a perp walk, like, through the anniversary sale.
Damn, this is a public service
announcement. And I'm just, like, running behind her going, Christy, you know, and I don't know what to do. And she's like, just go home, you know, and...
happens all the time. No, poor Christy.
And then they put her in the back of the police car.
Damn.
I know. Is that not... It was so scary.
Did you guys stay friends?
We stayed friends for a while, but she joined, I played on the tennis team and she played on the lacrosse team, and lacrosse was super cool. That was the super cool kids on the lacrosse team. And we didn't really cross too much. We were stoners and they were into harder drugs than us.
Okay. She's now doing laundry and doing cocaine.
That's right. I would say probably H more so. But yeah, so, you know, I remained clean. My record is clean. If I can bring it back to laundry, my record is clean. And yeah.
Well, hey, it's time for Bree's Hot Minute.
Sure is.
Brought to you by Powell's Bookstore manager, Bree Hoag. Bree has been doing a little laundry, listening in, and has some book recommendations based on the themes from Frayn's story.
Well, Frayn's story sort of left me wondering if she had encountered a serial killer, so I'm going to recommend one of my favorite true crime books, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer by Michelle McNamara. McNamara became obsessed with finding the Golden State Killer. Her book is both a memoir of her process and a very detailed dive into the forensics and science of the horrific crimes that gripped the state of California in the 70s. McNamara died before her book was published, and her husband, Patton Oswalt, worked with other writers and researchers to complete the book. It's really good and reads just like a mystery novel. The next recommendation is a book that I recently finished called Strange Girls by Sarvat Haseen. The book follows two friends years later coming to terms with their electric but ultimately scarring friendship. One perspective is told in the present and the other in the past. This is one of my favorite books I've read so far this year.
Oh, thank you, Bree. Hey, where can folks learn more about you, Frayn?
A few places. You could look at backfencestorytelling.com, where you can find out about both of us there. Learn about what we're up to. And you can see a clip from the movie we're in that's coming out later this year, supposedly, and a clip from Andrew's show and a clip from my show, and find out what else we're doing there. Also, at BF Masters on the Instagram. You can also find me at bfmasters.com. Those are probably the most fun. Have some fun. Those are the best places. Look around.
All right.
It's like a little amusement park.
Well, before we get to our last question, thank you for watching or listening. Please rate us a bunch of stars, subscribe, comment, share, download, do all the things to help us grow. We really appreciate it. All right. Lastly, what is something seemingly inconsequential that makes you unhinged?
Let me look through my file. I would say this one is, it's so wrong how upset I get about this. And I know it at the time even, but it's when people fill ice cube trays like halfway.
Oh, why bother?
What are you doing? Now we have half as much ice. It's insane. Or overfill them so the other tray sticks to it. There's an obvious place to fill it to, an obvious stopping point. And it's the same when somebody brings me a glass of water and they fill it, like they bring me a big glass of water and it's half full. It's like, it's hard for me to be an optimist in that moment. You know, I feel a little pessimistic.
I understand.
So if I get a half glass of water with half ice cubes in it,
that's just,
I feel anger.
Going to bed.
Yeah, I'm in a monologue about it. And it's going to be Shakespearean. But yes, it does bother me.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Frayn Masters.
Thank you so much, Andrew Dixon.
Great story and great co-hosting. And thank you to our fabulous behind-the-scenes editor and producer, Julia Oppenheimer. Frayn Masters is executive producer. Frayn Masters and myself are co-hosts and co-creators. Thank you to musician and frontman for Lostlander, Matt Sheehy, for creating our theme music. And thank you to Powell's Books and Kiln Coworking Space for making this episode and our live shows possible. We recorded this show at X-Ray FM. Find them online or 91.1 or 107.1. You can find more information about me, Andrew, Frayn, and Backfence Storytelling shows and workshops at the aforementioned BackfenceStorytelling.com. And thank you
for
listening
and watching.
Bye.